church to be, why God left the church here, and what the church is to do in the absence of Jesus before he comes back and gets the church. And there's one verse of scripture. Now, throughout the book of Acts, this definition and this picture of what the church is to be is mentioned, but there's a particular verse in Acts chapter number 9 that I want to read to you that I think sums it up very well. Acts chapter number 9, if you would stand just for a moment, we'll read one verse of scripture, we'll have a word of prayer, and then I'll give you some thoughts that God's laid on my heart. Acts chapter number 9, we'll read one verse of scripture together, and that verse is verse 31. Acts chapter 9, look if you would at verse 31. Then had the churches, now we know that this is speaking of the local churches, because there's only one church as it refers to the body. Okay, there's only one church as far as the body of the head, which is Jesus Christ. So when you see this churches, often you find the word church that can be plural, single, singular, but every time churches is mentioned, it's speaking of local churches. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. And I pray that you would help us now to learn from your word the purpose of Fellowship Baptist Church as a local assembly of believers and every local New Testament Bible-believing church. We thank you for the teaching of your word, and we pray for the filling of your Holy Spirit, that as the word goes forth this evening, it would go forth in great power, and that each of our hearts would be content to know that not only is the Bible the word of God, that it's never wrong, it's always right. And as long as we keep the commandments and abide in your word, we have the promise of God to rely on. So I pray that you'd help us to do this now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. There's a book that many of you probably have read called Pilgrim's Progress. How many of you have read that book? Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't read that book, I would encourage you to get that book and read it. John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. And it's a great book. It's an allegory. Speaks in terms and pictures, really. But it's a great, great book, and I would encourage you to get it. The book of Acts is known as infant's progress. In other words, the church is just getting started. The church is born, and the church is growing, and it's finding herself out. What God expects of local churches. Now, since then, we're about 2,000 years into what the churches have done and are doing and what God expects the church to do. But I want you to understand something. Not every church does what the Bible says to do. Just like not every Christian does what the Bible says to do. Now, there's great consequences when, as individuals, we do not do what God says to do. But there's also great consequences when, as a collective body, we do not do what God says to do. So I want to ask you a question. What is the purpose of the church? Now think about that for a moment. What is the purpose of the church? Well, you probably get a lot of different answers if we were to ask people to come up and begin to tell us what. Well, the church is here to visit the homeless, or to care for the orphaned, or to feed the hungry, or to evangelize the lost, or to strengthen the saints, to feed the flock of God. And on it could go. Some people believe that the church is here for to meet financial needs of people. Some people believe the church is here to meet social needs. What does the Bible say that the church is here for? Why is there a church? Why is this church in existence? Well, I think in verse number 31 of Acts chapter 9, there's two words that sum up the work of the church. Now, years ago, I found out that what most people think about church is not the work of the church. Now listen carefully. It's church work. Now there's a big difference between church work and the work of the church. And we don't want to get them confused. Now church work is a good thing, right? Amen. You know, church work is a good thing. I do church work. You do church work. A lot of people at Fellowship Baptist Church do church work. But there's a big difference between church work, straightening chairs, straightening song books, cleaning the church, bringing gravel for the parking lot, working on the buses. And we could go on and on about what church work is, providing different avenues for people to be helped and to be reached. That's church work. But in verse number 31 of chapter 9, we have the work of the church. And it falls under two categories, okay? I want you to circle a couple of words in your Bible. Verse number 31, look at this. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea. Now there had been great persecution. And Saul had gotten converted. And you can read this in chapter 8 and 9. And he began to preach in the name of Jesus. And the disciples thought, well, you know, we're not so certain that we believe that Saul is really now on our side. And so they were a little apprehensive about receiving him into the fold. But then Barnabas got him and he brought him in and he said, hey, listen, I heard him preach. He's for real. The Spirit of God's on his life. Receive him as one of the brethren. Then had, verse number 31, the churches rest. The persecution ceased for a moment. I mean, they had been in a whirlwind. The church had been in a whirlwind up until this time. And then it says, then had the church, or the churches, rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were, and I want you to circle that next word, edify. Now that's a good word. That's a good word. We're going to talk about that word. It's a very important word. It is a word that gives us a part of what the work of the church is. The work of the church is to edify the believer. The work of the church is to believers. One part of it is. One part of the work of the church is to build up believers. Now there's a reason that you're to be built up. There's a reason I'm to be built up. Knowledge in itself puffeth up. We're not concerned about being puffed up. We're concerned about being built up. And I'm going to talk to you about that from the Word of God. There's a big difference, okay? So edified. Now, when you see this word edified, know that it comes from the same root word as edifice. In other words, if you look at a building, many times a building is called an edifice. And that word means built up. A building, it's a building, it's built up. The word edified means to be built up. Well, you know, we all need to be built up, right? Sometimes we get kind of drugged down, right? And we need to be built up. And the church is a great place, or should be, a great place to come to get built up spiritually, built up so that you can grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've had people tell me throughout my 30 years of ministry, people tell me, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, actually, I think you probably do. Now, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Or to be saved, I should say. You can be saved in your home and never go to church. But now if you're going to be a good Christian, you're going to have to go to church. Because you need to hear the Word of God. Listen, every Christian needs a man of God. Every Christian needs the people of God. The Bible teaches that we do not live to ourselves and we do not die to ourselves. We need one another. God has made it that way. So don't you try to bind it. Well, you know, the church. Listen, the church is very, very, very important to you, to me, as believers. And so the Bible says that the church is for the purpose to be edified, to be built up. Now, here's the second thing. Watch this, verse 31. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Now, I want you to circle that word. Now, here's two words that in a snapshot, the Spirit of God tells us what the purpose of the church is. The purpose of the church is to build up the saints of God. The purpose of the church is to feed the flock of God, to make God's people strong, to make God's people to have a knowledge and to have a vision and to have a burden and to have what they need to be equipped to go out and do the work of God. Why? So that the church might be multiplied. You see, as I'm edified, it will encourage me and prompt me to go out and win other people that the church might be multiplied. You understand what the Bible's teaching here? No edification, no multiplication. You find a people that will not go to church or will not listen when they get to church or will not allow the Word of God to do a work in their heart, they're not going to have a burden for lost people. They're not going to want to win lost people. They're not going to try to get people saved. And so therefore the church will not be multiplied. So they go together. Right? The Bible teach that? This means yes. And this means no. So hold your place here and go to Matthew. Jesus, Paul's only teaching what Jesus taught. Amen. Jesus looked at his disciples in Matthew chapter 28. And this is what he said. He said, I want you to go multiply. And when you multiply, I want you to edify. Because once you multiply people, you've got to edify. And once they get edified, then they're going to go multiply. And it's a cycle. Matthew 28, look if you would, in Matthew 28, look at verse number 19. Acts 9:31 is not as familiar as Matthew 28, 19 and 20. However, the same truth is taught in both of these passages of Scripture. Look, if you would, Matthew 28. We know verse 19 and 20. We're right in the midst of the March of Missions, okay? Right in the midst of the month of March, and we've had our missions revival. We've pledged our faith promise. We've met missionaries. We understand the importance of getting the gospel around the world. And I want to explain to you that the purpose of Fellowship Baptist Church as a local church is to have missions revivals, to have missionaries, to go to places that we will not go, to help them, to partner with them. But missions is not just about going across the seas, not even just across the states. It's about going across the street and telling people about Jesus Christ. See, that's part of missions too. If I'm not willing and I'm not concerned about people across the street, it's hard to believe that a person could get concerned about people across the sea. If I don't care and concerned about people I can see, how am I going to get a burden for people that I won't see and can't see? And the Bible teaches that. All right? So missions is a burden for people to be saved. They do not have to have a different color skin. They don't have to be from a different culture. They don't even have to be from a different country. Missions is about getting people saved. Amen. Now watch what Jesus said. Matthew 28, verse number 19. Go ye. Here's the mission. Here's the great commission. Here's the heartbeat of God. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What's that? That's multiply. When you get people saved and baptized, they're added to the church. That's multiplying the church, right? That's Acts 9:31. Then, when they're multiplied, when they get saved, what's the next step? Edify. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's the edifying. So multiplying and edifying go together. Jesus taught that. That's part of the Great Commission. Now, oftentimes, when we mention the Great Commission, the edifying part is left off. And we think, well, let's just go get them saved. Well, listen, if we get people saved and we don't disciple them and we don't teach them and we don't edify them, then they're going to not be able to, number one, experience the fullness of joy that God saved them to experience, but they're not going to help multiply the church. So when you get people saved, then you get them edified, and then they get other people saved, which is multiplied. Now let's turn back just for a moment to Acts chapter 9. And I want to talk to you a little bit about balance. All right? Balance.
Balance is a very difficult thing to achieve in our personal lives, and it's certainly, as a pastor, it's hard for a pastor and a staff and a people of a church to stay balanced in the church. It's difficult. But now it can be done. And it must be done. You see, we need to be just as concerned about multiplying as we are about edifying. We need to be just as concerned. And we don't need to let one get too far out of kilter than the other. We need to be very concerned about getting people saved. But we also need to be very concerned about being in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night so we can be edified. Revival meetings, special meetings. Why? Because we need to be edified. Why? Because as I'm edified, then it's going to teach me, and it's going to grow me, and it's going to challenge me to go out and get people, which is going to be part of multiplying. They go together. You can't separate them. And when you do separate them, churches become very unbalanced. And all they do is go, 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 and nobody's growing. And so you have a bunch of babies in church. And guess what happens when you get a bunch of babies in the same room? Yeah, it stinks. There's a lot of crying and whining. And a lot of mine, mine, hitting, right? That's right. Now, thank God for babies. Don't misunderstand me. But if there's a bunch of babies and there's no one to help train them and show them, and there's just a bunch of babies, you're going to have a church that is full of trouble. There's got to be some young men, as John in 1 John wrote, and some fathers of the faith. There's got to be some mature Christians to help balance out the balance of the church congregation. And so if all we do is go out and get them and reach them and get them saved, but we don't teach them to observe and we don't edify them and build them up, well, then the church is going to be, well, it's going to be like we see a lot today. There will be biting. Turn in your Bible just for a moment to Galatians chapter number 5. This is what happens. I remember back years ago, we had a biter in the nursery, and it wasn't an adult. For some of those of you who are thinking, what? But it was a child who, I mean, every new child that came in the nursery, this little fellow would bite him. I mean, he would initiate him with the bite of death. I mean, he was the jaws of death. Amen. I mean, he put the clamp down on him, and he wouldn't let go. I mean, they would scream bloody murder. So babies, they bite. And they're selfish. They want everything's about them. That's just babies. All right? Notice what Paul said in Galatians chapter number 5. If you'll look at verse number 15, this is a powerful verse of Scripture. He said, "But if ye bite and devour one another." Now, Paul's writing to the churches of Galatia. He's writing to the churches of Galatia. And he said, if you are so immature as a believer, if you are not being edified, if you're not being built up, if you're not growing, if all you're concerned about is going out and getting people, but you're not growing, you're not being edified, if you're unbalanced and it's all about multiplying and multiplying and multiplying, but it's not about being edified and edified and edified, you're going to have a bunch of biters and devourers. And the church is going to be fight and friction and drama. And then not only will that affect the believers, but it will affect the community. And people say, I'm not going down to that church. All they do down there is fight and bite and devour one another. I don't need that drama. I've got enough drama in my life, right? You ever heard that? Sure you have. You've been saved long enough, you've heard that. You say, oh, preacher, people just use that as an excuse. I understand that. But the sad thing is that sometimes it's so. And so he said in verse number 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. It'll get to where when people come to church, all it'll be is just a big fight. Fighting and biting and devouring and backbiting and fault finding and gossiping. Why? Babies. Babies. Spiritual babies. Not growing. Not being edified. not maturing in the faith. So the purpose of the church, Acts 9, are you there? Turn back there, verse 31, is to be edified. Now that word edified means to be built up. So I want to take the next few moments and talk to you on what the Bible says, not what I think. What the Bible says that you're built up by. How can the church build you up? Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Now, the multiplying part, and I'll mention that, that's easy. It doesn't take much study in the Bible to know. It's just go. Amen? Get out there and get sinners. They're everywhere. Amen? Sinners are everywhere. Go get them. Get in the bus ministry. Get involved in missions. Get in the Sunday school department. Get involved in the work of the church. Listen, and sinners are everywhere. And then go get them. Come to Saturday soul winning visitation. Listen, you can go get them any way, any day at Fellowship Baptist Church. Get you some tracts as you leave and distribute tracts. That is multiplying. The multiplying part is just go get them. Go tell them. As I said, get in the bus ministry. Oh, preacher, I don't have time to get in the bus ministry. You're not edified enough. I don't have time to get involved in the Sunday school. You're not edified enough. You're not being edified enough. You're missing too much church. You're not praying enough. You're not reading your Bible enough. Listen to me. If we do not have a concern to go get people, God hasn't changed His mind. It's us. It's us. And we can't point our fingers and say, well, that's just the way society is today. Did you read in Acts 9:31? The church had just come through harsh persecution. But after they were edified in verse number 31, what does it say? That they were walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. They were multiplied. They were multiplied. Hey, hold your place there and turn back to Acts 6. That word multiplied is used again. It is. Look at Acts 6. Verse number 1 of Acts 6 says, and in those days when the number of the disciples were what? Come on, folks, what's it say? Multiplied. How did that happen, preacher? How did the disciples get multiplied? The same way that disciples get multiplied today. Look, if you would, the way chapter 5 ends. Look at verse number 42 of chapter 5. And daily in the temple. All right? Some people were getting multiplied by going to the temple. People get saved in church. If I belonged to a church and nobody was getting saved, I'd find me a church where some people were getting saved. Say amen. I tell you right now, there's something wrong when you can't hear the cries of newborn babes in a Bible-believing church. Something's not right. Amen. If I belonged to a church that didn't have baptismal services, I would get concerned. Concerned. But it takes all of us going out and getting them. Daily in the temple. You watching it now? Verse 42. He said they were multiplied in chapter 6, verse 1. How did that happen? Daily in the temple. Look at verse 42. And in every house. What happened? They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. And as a direct result of that, the Bible says, in those days, in chapter 6, verse 1, the number of the disciples were multiplied. Amen. When you teach and preach Jesus Christ, folks are going to get saved. Amen. By the way, the purpose of Fellowship Baptist Church will always be, as long as I'm the pastor, preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. I love music, but you don't build a church on music. Say amen. I love music, but you don't build a church on music. Oh, preacher, we're going to bust them in and sing and everybody's going to get emotional. Listen, I'm not the least bit concerned about that. I love good spirit-filled singing. Praise God, I love it. But what we need is preaching and teaching about Jesus Christ. Say, well, we need programs. Well, we have programs here. We have events. I'm all for them. I'm all for it. Amen. We're going to have a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. We're trying to get Brother Kenny Baldwin to come and preach to those men. There'll be about 60 or 70 young men there. that's going to play three-on-three basketball, and we're trying to line Brother Kenny Baldwin to come down and preach to them and get them saved. Amen. Everything that we do at Fellowship Baptist Church has an evangelistic thrust to it, to multiply. Homecoming, we give devotions. Why? We want to see people get saved. Amen. Our men's retreat, we have a devotion. Our youth retreats, we have devotion. Everything we do at Fellowship Baptist Church, the Word of God is broke open and Jesus is preached. Why? Because we have an evangelistic thrust. We're trying to multiply the church. And so here it says they were multiplied. How? Because in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus. So that's the multiplying part. But now, how do you get edified? You thought about it? It says they were edified. Did you circle that word? In Acts 9:31, then it says they multiplied. Did you circle that? See, this is the work of the church, brethren. And if we get unbalanced, if we get unbalanced and all we do is just come in here and I preach to you and we have people come in and teach and preach to you and it just keeps building us up and building us up and we don't go out and share it, it's going to puff us up and we're going to get in a bad way. You know what happens to fat sheep? Yeah, that's right. Fat sheep pick up a lot of diseases and dirt. Sheep need to be sheared. They do. It's humbling to go out and try to reach people for Jesus Christ. Amen. You won't get too fat out there in the world trying to get people saved. Amen. You might get fattened up at church some. I'm not going to let you get too fat. Amen. But you do need to be fed. We all need to be fed. We all need to be nourished. The Bible teaches. That's part of my job description as your pastor. To provide nourishment, to provide feeding from the Word of God so you can be strong spiritually. Now, you got to feed yourself too, right? Amen. What happens when you feed yourself? It gives you enough nourishment to want to come to the house of God to get fed by God's men. That's right. They go together. All right, let's see what the Bible says in our time remaining. All right, you ready to turn with me? I want you to turn to a verse of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, and this is where we'll start. I got about 10 minutes, so I want you to listen fast, and I'm going to talk fast. No, not that fast. Not that fast. All right. I'm going to slow down. Ephesians chapter number 2. In the Bible, the church is pictured in three ways. Now, don't you miss this. Okay, don't you miss this. Number one, as a building. All right? And we're getting ready to look at that in Ephesians chapter 2. The church is pictured as a building. All right? And Jesus is the foundation. For other foundation, now you're in Ephesians chapter 2, but I'm quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation. He's also, as we see here in the book of Ephesians, he's the chief cornerstone. If you'll look in Ephesians chapter 2, look if you would in verse number 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, there's a couple of things that you need to know about these verses of Scripture. Number one, it speaks about the church as a building and Jesus as the foundation. And as I mentioned earlier, brethren, while I love singing and I love social activities and I love homecomings and things like that, Jesus is the foundation of everything we do here. The preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ. We want to make much of Jesus. So the church is pictured as a building. And when it's mentioned as a building, it talks about being the foundation of what God's going to do here in this earth. Now, what's another picture that God uses for the church? What about a body? Is Jesus the head of the body? And the church is the body, right? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right? Right? You understand that? We are the body, and Jesus is the head. And when the Bible speaks of the church being the building, it speaks of the foundation. But when it speaks of the church being the body, now listen to me, it speaks of the church's function. Because we are members of that body. And each member has been given gifts. And we're to function by using our gifts. And that's how the church functions. So God has given you a gift. Now don't you miss this. See, when you begin to exercise your spiritual gift, God will begin to build you up. You'll begin to get edified. There's not a whole lot of accomplishment by coming to church and sitting in a chair week after week, month after month, year after year. Amen. Get involved by using the spiritual gift or gifts that God has given you, and as you begin to do that, you will begin to be built up. Edified. You understand? So, in Ephesians chapter 2, the church is pictured as a building in which Jesus is the foundation. Then the Bible says about the church in 1 Corinthians, also in Ephesians chapter 4, that there's one body. And so that body is the church. And that speaks not of the foundation, but of what? The function, right? Now, what's another way the church is used? There's one other way that the church is pictured in the New Testament. The bride. And the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. The bride. This speaks of the fidelity. As the bride of Christ, the church ought to be clean and holy. Separated. Amen. See, folks have lost sight of what the church is, brethren. People have lost sight of what God expects of His church. And we need to get back to understanding that God's Word has expectations of His church. The building, the body, the bride. The building speaks of the foundation. The body speaks of the function. And the bride speaks of the fidelity, the purity. Now, I want to just concentrate on the building. All right? Because that's what we're talking about, being edified. How are you going to be built up? I want you to turn to Jude. Here's one way the Bible says you can be built up. This is going to build you up. You ready? Jude, the book of Jude. Look in verse number 20. There's one chapter in Jude, and if you'll look down at verse number 20, the Bible says this is how you can be built up. In Jude, verse number 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, how are you going to be built? Number one, you're going to have to exercise some faith. As we just came through this Faith Promise Missions Conference, God was using that to show us where we are in our faith. Amen. Individually and corporately as a body of believers. God will continue to do that, not just through Faith Promise Missions. God will continue to do that to see, are you going to run those buses? God will continue to do that. Are you going to continue as people, as He sends people, are you going to be willing to expand with the people that God sends here? Are you willing to have faith that God is going to meet the need as He builds His church? So we're built up how? Faith. You want to be built up? Then you need faith. How do you get faith? Somebody raise your hand and tell me. How do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing. Amen. And hearing by Word of God. All right? It's very important. So, I want to be built up, preacher. I want to have a lot of faith. Then you need to spend adequate time in the Word of God. And you need to get under the preaching of the Word. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings. I would listen to preaching driving down the road. I would just listen to preaching. Preaching increases faith. You want to know who's strong in faith? People who take in a lot of preaching. Why? Because that's God's way. Amen. Some of you looking at me like, huh? Is that so? Romans 10:17 says it is. Amen. So how do you get built up? faith, faith, and then praying. You pray regular. You're not going to be built up if you don't pray. Well, I tell you, I always enjoy our seasons of prayer with our prayer group, don't you? It's a wonderful thing. And praying builds us up. Isn't that what Jude said? Look at it one more time. Building, verse number 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That's the way you do it. You build up. You want to be edified? Build up yourself. How? Faith. How you get faith? The Word. And then praying in the Holy Ghost. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. I've got just a few more, and then we'll be through, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Here's another way that you can be built up. We're talking about being edified. We know about being multiplied. Get involved in the bus ministry. Get involved in the Sunday school. Come to Soul Winning Visitation on Saturday. Go to nursing home. There's so many avenues that we can get involved. Just get you a pocket full of tracts and give them out. Everywhere you go, just pass out. Sow the seed, amen? And that's how people are multiplied into the kingdom. Now, look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 now, as touching verse number 1, things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. And it does. Well, I tell you, you get around somebody that knows a little something, and they won't let you forget what they know. And they just go on and on. But now here's what he said. That in itself is not good for you. But charity edifieth. So how are you going to get built up? Love. Faith builds you up. Prayer builds you up. But love builds you up. Do you love people? Oh, we'd all say yes. Nobody would say, not me, preacher. But no, I'm not talking about do you love people here. When you love people here and you're asked that question, you'll always say, yes, I love people. Do you love people here? Because here's where the action is. See, here is where the talk is. Do you love people? Here, yes. Do you love people here? Well, now I have to think about that. Right? Amen. So this word charity is love from the heart. All right? So you're built up. You're edified. How can you get edified? Faith edifies. Jude verse 20. Prayer edifies. But love edifies. Is that what the Bible says? Look at the Word, brethren. The Bible's always right. The Bible's never wrong. When you and I begin to love people the way God loves people, God will build you up. God will give you something that no man can give you, that money cannot buy. Listen to me now. Listen. God will give us something that money cannot buy, that man cannot supply, when we really love people the way God loves people. It changes you. It changes you. When we get the heart of God for people, it changes the way you live. Love edifies. It edifies. And only you can answer that question for you. I can answer it for me. Do I love people? I can answer that question. God knows. Do you love people? You can answer that question. God knows. And it shows. So he said here in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, knowledge is good now, but knowledge in itself is not enough. Well, I know my Bible, preacher. Well, how much of it are you doing? I know what the Bible says about going. Well, how much going are you doing? Amen? You see? Knowledge in itself, knowing it, is just half of it. Now we have to put it to practice, right? Let me give you a couple more scriptures. First Corinthians, turn to chapter 14. We're talking about being built up now. You want to be built up, right? Everybody wants to be built up. And so if we want to be built up, we're going to have faith. Jude verse 20, prayer. Jude verse 20. Love, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. And now here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse number 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. That's not a very good thing to do. You ever been around somebody, all they're doing is building up their self? Amen. Well, Paul said, those that speak in an unknown tongue are building up themselves. But, look what he said now. He that prophesieth edifieth the church. Preaching, testifying, This edifies. This builds up others. And so this is what we need to focus on. Right? Is that what the Bible says? You following? This is so important. I can't tell you how important it is to know that this is what God says the church is here for. Preaching. Prophesying. Look down in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. Look at verse number 12. Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. What's Paul saying? He's saying, you know, if you want to really be built up and you want to be a part of building up people around you, use the gift that God's given you. What gift has God given you? You say, oh, preacher, I don't have any gifts. Well, now, if you're saved, you do. The Bible teaches in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that every Christian has a gift or some gifts. And if you're not using your gifts, you're hindering the church. You're not building up the church. You're actually hindering the church. What gifts has God given you? If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12, those gifts are laid out for us. See, some people think, well, the only thing that I can do is you know, if I can't teach or preach or sing, then I can't help the church. Oh, you don't understand. The Bible has a list of right at 19 or 20 gifts that everyone in this room possesses at least one of them. There's helps, there's administration. There's organization, government is what it's called, the gift of government, of organization. There's a lot of gifts that God gives. Find your gift and use it for the Lord. What does it do? It edifieth. Is that what it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12? It sure is. So I want to encourage you. The church is here for a twofold purpose. Edify, multiply. And we're all to be a part of both. And when we're not, we're breaking down what God left the church here for. We wonder, why is the church weak, preacher? Why is the church weak? Because Christians have quit doing and participating in what God left the church here for. And I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of being a part of what God left the church here for. And so I want to be a part of the edifying process and the multiplying process. And I believe you do too. And you can be. You can be. Not everyone has to preach. Not everyone has to go to the mission field. Thank God for those who do. Don't misunderstand me. Not everyone has to have a beautiful voice and sing. Thank God for those who do. God has given you a gift. Use it. Don't rob the church of that blessing. You may possess a gift that no one else of the church possesses, or the strength of that gift may be exactly what the church needs to be propelled into a wider ministry for what God wants here in this community. Let's all stand. Paul said in Acts 20:32, and now I commend you to the Word of God, the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. I'm glad that God's Word can do that. So, be a part of the edifying, being built up. Let's go over it one more time, because I want you to know this, okay? I can't tell you how many Christians that I have met that they're just not experiencing the Christian life. They're just kind of aimlessly going through life with no aim, no joy. Hey, the Bible speaks of a Christian as having joy unspeakable and full of glory. That shouldn't be abnormal. Why are Christians not experiencing joy unspeakable and full of glory? Because we're not being built up. We're weak and anemic, and there's a bunch of biting and devouring going on. Why? Well, you have faith. Are you taking in a lot of the Word? That's how you get faith, Jude 20. You praying in the Holy Ghost, Jude verse 20. You loving? Love edifies. You love people? You say, preacher, I just can't love that person. That's not what Romans 5:5 says. Romans 5:5 says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus said, love your friends. That's not what he said. He said, love your enemies. So see, if you're not loving people, you're not being built up. You're not allowing the Spirit of God to build you up. Edify. Preaching edifies. The gifts, these things edify. They build up. So I want to encourage you. Be built up. Be strong in the power of His might. And then you'll want to go out and multiply. Amen. Father, thank you.